Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due. The unique with perfect attributes, he begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Today, inshallah, we will start a series of classes related to Islamic solution to depression. Inshallah, we will learn how our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the belief in the decree of Allah can help the believer to overcome the most common illness nowadays, which is depression. In reality, we all experience unhappiness at some point in the lifetime. Our faith and belief in Allah the Almighty are usually enough to strengthen our sense of loss, grief, or sadness. However, as human beings, we are prone to feelings of depression under serious and difficult circumstances. It has been said that depression affects up to 40% of people at some stage in their life, and has been found to be more common in women more than men. Women from all socioeconomic, racial, and educational backgrounds may be affected by depression. It is estimated that around 33 to 35 million of the United States adults have depression at any stage of their life. So we need to know all about this illness, inshallah. Let us first agree that as the world continues to progress in technology, it is retrogressing spiritually and morally. The price we are paying for this technology development is huge. We in reality are living in a society which has become morally ill. In spite of the fact that life seems to become more easy because of the great advance in the ways of communication, cell phones, text message, computers, emails, and also the great advance in the ways of transportation, highways all around, air flights more comfortable and to all places in the world, that is to say the world has become a global village, but in reality life becomes more difficult and challenging today than previous time. Tension, frustration, feeling of isolation, anxiety, sadness and depression surround a major proportion of the world's population. The spirit of man has been damaged and lost its nature. Families separate, justice can't be found, people feel like used up, and without money, prestige and beauty, a person will be left behind, feeling of little value. All these facts are reflected on our feelings and spirits in the form of being nervous, stressed, restless, hopeless, and depressed. At the beginning, we need all to agree to the following facts. Money can buy bed, but not sleep. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Money can buy companions, but not friends. Money can buy food, but not appetite. Money can buy medicine, but not cure. Money can buy books, but not wisdom. Money can buy clothes, but not personality. Money can buy marriage, but not love. Money can buy anything, but not the heaven. Money can buy almost everything, but not the peace and the happiness of the spirit. If you agree with all the above rules, we will realize why millions of people are suffering from depression. It is the lack of the knowledge of the truth of the reality of the worldly life, the truth regarding the goal of their creation, the truth of the oneness of the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the truth of the day of judgment, the truth of the paradise and the hellfire. Lacking of all the above realities will leave the people always confused, unhappy, stressed, on their way to depression. It is Islam, the religion of the oneness of Allah, the Almighty, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Islam teaches mankind all the truth, so that he can realize all the facts and events around him and react to it in the proper way, so that he can protect himself against any feeling of depression or anxiety. We need to learn all about depression and worry, so that we can learn about how to be away from these spiritual illnesses. Inshallah, we will answer the following questions in the following classes. What is sadness? What is depression? What is the difference between sadness and depression? What are the symptoms of depression? What are the causes of depression? Can a true believer have depression? What are the Islamic ways to protect the believer from the depression? And inshallah, now we will start by the definition of sadness. What is sadness? Sadness is the feeling of sorrow when not in a state of well-being, when you feel that you are not in a state of well-being. It is part of the human life and part of being human. It is normal feeling. Sadness is normal feeling. It is a normal human emotion that most of the human beings experience in different phases of their lifetimes. Even all the prophets, like Prophet Musa, Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Isa, Prophet Lut, Prophet Nuh, and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them, they went through the feelings of sadness. In the Quran, Allah informed us about the events from the lives of the prophets, which clarify the pain and suffering and the resulting sadness in their lives, which prove that sadness is normal feeling for the believer, as life is a test full of problems. Let us now learn from the Quran about the problems which actually most of the prophets face, so that we can learn that problems require a lot of effort to solve them. Sometimes the believer can't succeed to solve the problem, so he feels happy and relaxed. Otherwise, he may fall to find the solution. So the pain is severe and he feels sad. But this sadness is always transient, as Allah's mercy is always close to the spirit of the believer. This mercy will support the believer until Allah will make for him an outlet of his problem. Regarding the Prophet's sadness, let us remember Prophet Adam, who was sent out of the paradise as he listened to Shaitan whispers, "This is the greatest disaster for any human." But in spite of the sadness, Prophet Adam was full of trust in Allah's mercy. So he and his wife called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive their sin. We will read now about this call in Surah Al-A'raf, Surah number 7, verse number 23. Okay, verse number 23.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. فَلَا رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُنَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ.
Your English accent.
Really?
Why?
هي
مش فالة هي قالة.
Really?
It's my eyes. لازم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. They said, "Our Lord, we have wronged ourselves. If you forgive us not and bestow not upon us your mercy, we shall certainly be of the losers."
So this is the proof that Prophet Adam was sad when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him and his wife out of the paradise, and they called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking for forgiveness. Their sadness doesn't prevent them from feeling the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they can call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looking for forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered their call, and it is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 37. 37.
This is number 37. Yes. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه إنه هو التواب الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Then Adam received from his Lord words, and his Lord pardoned him, accepted his repentance. Verily, he is the one who forgives, the most merciful.
Okay. So actually, we need to learn that in spite of the great disaster to leave the paradise and the great sadness, still Prophet Adam was hoping, was having the hope that Allah will forgive his sin. This means that sadness is not supposed to prevent the believer from having the trust and hope in Allah's mercy. Okay, sadness is a transient feeling in the life of the believer, which he can get rid of it out of the belief in Allah's mercy and continue his life in the best shape. Okay, this is sadness, because we want to know the difference between sadness and depression. Okay, regarding Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, who called on his people for 950 years to worship none but Allah, but still it was only 9 or 11 people who answered this long journey of calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in spite of his sadness, he never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to imagine Prophet Nuh, who is calling his people generation after generation with all the patience, okay, to worship none but Allah, but in spite of his patience and his kindness, only 9 people or 11 people, no one is sure the number, but it is mostly 11, over 950 years. You can imagine what kind of sadness he will feel, because he feels that he failed to convey the message. But in spite of that sadness, he never lose the hope, and he kept on calling. Okay, the proof that he never lost the hope in Allah's mercy is that he kept on calling his people in spite of their rejection to his message. It is also the great sadness of Prophet Jacob alayhi salam, who called on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, clarifying his sadness. We will read now from Surah Yusuf, Surah number 12. We will read verse number 85, 86 and 87 to know about the story of Prophet Jacob with the sadness.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قالوا تالله تفتأ تذكر يوسف حتى حتى تكون حربا أو تكون من الهالكين. قال إنما أشكو بثي وحزني إلى الله وأعلم من الله ما لا تعلمون. يا بني يا اذهبوا فتحسسوا من يوسف وأخيه ولا تيأسوا من روح الله، إنه لا ييأس من روح الله إلا القوم الكافرون. صدق الله.
They said, by Allah, you will never cease remembering Yusuf until you become weak with old age, or until you be of the dead. He said, I only complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah, and I know from Allah that which you know not. O my sons, go you and inquire about Yusuf and his brother, and never give up hope of Allah's mercy. Certainly no one despairs of Allah's mercy except the people who disbelieve.
See, this is the message, subhanAllah. So actually, if we try to learn about the story of Prophet Jacob, actually, Yaqub alayhi salam, he lost his son, whom he loved the most, for around 40 years. And then he lost his other son, the youngest of his sons, after he lost Prophet Yusuf. So he lost the two beloved of his sons for more than 40 years. And actually the rest of his sons, they will always, very upset about him being all the time looking for Yusuf waiting for him to show up in his life again. So he replied with them, actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with the sentence which is supposed to be the rule of the believer regarding sadness in the worldly life. This is one of the rules which we learned when we learn about the belief in Allah's decree. He said, I only complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah. This has to be the way of the believer regarding grief and sorrow, only to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the question is, why to complain only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because Allah is the only power and only will and the source of all the mercy. So when I complain, I am supposed to complain to the one who has the power and who can change the situation. I am not supposed to complain to the people whom they are or not more than handful of dust. They can't benefit themselves, so how they can benefit me? Okay, so as a true believer, if you want to be sure of your belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always check yourself at the time of sadness, check your reality when you only complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing that He is the only one who has all the power and the will. And actually, it is written here in the Quran, as Prophet Jacob said, "And I know from Allah that which you know not." He is a true believer. He knows that Allah has the power, and if Allah decided that He will find His son, He will find His son even after 40 years. Accordingly, He said to His sons, "O my sons, go you and inquire about Yusuf and his brother, and never give up hope of Allah's mercy." This is the belief, true belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in spite of the fact that he was so sad about the loss of his son, and he was so sad to the decree that he lost his vision because of the crying, you see. But in spite of that, he never gave up hope of Allah's mercy, and Allah is mentioning the rule, certainly no one despairs of Allah's mercy except the people who disbelieve. So this is the sign of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you never despair of Allah's mercy. You can be sad and you can cry, okay, but at the same moment you are not supposed to lose the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah the only power and the only will. Again, it is the full trust and hope in Allah's mercy in spite of the great sadness which always was happening to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And actually, we will mention about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one of the events related to the sadness, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the cave with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he assured Abu Bakr as-Siddiq while the enemies were around the cave not to grieve, as Allah is with them. We will read now from Surah At-Tawbah, and then I will clarify to you more in detail inshallah. We will read now from Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse number 4.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذا أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لن تروها وجعل كلمة الدين وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم صدق الله العظيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. If you help him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not, it does not matter. For Allah did indeed help him when the disbelievers drove him out, the second of the two. When they, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, were in the cave, he said to his companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhum, "Be not sad or afraid. Surely Allah is with us." Then Allah sent down His Sakina, calmness, tranquility, peace, upon him, and strengthened him with forces, angels which you saw not, and made the word of those who disbelieved the lowermost, while the word of Allah that became the uppermost, and Allah is Almighty, All-Wise.
Actually, this is the feeling of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq while he and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were in the journey of migration from Mecca and Medina, escaping from the torment and from the punishment of the people of Mecca. They escaped, both of them together, and many people were following them. And when they hide in the cave, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he noticed that there are people whom they are so close. Abu Bakr was not worried about himself or sad for himself. He was worried and sad for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because if anything happens to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this means that the message of Islam will be lost. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam assured Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and he said to him, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, not to be sad, okay, or afraid, because Allah is with us. Okay, and this is again and again has to be the feeling of the believers. But for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he had the excuse in that event because he was worried about the whole message of Islam in the form of the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we believers, followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we always must have the feeling that so long we are obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are supposed never to be sad, because Allah is always with the believers, making for them an outlet from every problem. So actually this is the reality of the sadness in the life of the prophets. Okay, sadness is a normal feeling which is part of the test of the worldly life. And regarding the feeling, the prophets, they were exposed to the severe pain and severe sadness. For us, the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are supposed to have the expectation that we will have sadness in our life so long we are living our life as a test, but we must follow our Prophet and follow all the Prophets, that they never lose the hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they never lose the interest in the life. Okay, this is the sadness in the Quran. And now inshallah we will learn about depression, so that we will try to learn what is the difference between depression and sadness from the Islamic point of view. Actually, depression is a whole body illness involving the body, the mood and the thoughts. It affects the way you eat and sleep, the way you feel about yourself, and the way you think about things. Actually, depression involves many changes. Number one, changes in thinking. The depressed person experiences problems, okay, but he always lose concentration and lose the ability to have a decision. He always have negative thoughts, poor self-esteem, excessive guilt and self-destruction are all common. Actually, you know, try to remember an event, sad event in your life. And during that sad event, you were not close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? If you have a sad event, and this is the nature of the worldly life, while you were not close to Allah, or the belief in the oneness of Allah was not clear in your spirit, be sure that you will have one of these changes in the thinking. Okay? Especially the negative thoughts and the poor decision making. Okay? You will be always confused and reluctant to take a decision. And everything is confused. You know, this is always actually the changes in the thinking during the depression. Changes in the feelings. The depressed person feels sad, but for no reason, okay, at all. When you have sadness, the only sadness without depression in the worldly life, this is normal, because you have sadness because of a reason. For example, my daughter left forever. For example, my husband is laid off. For example, I have severe illness. So I am sad because there is a reason. Okay, this is sadness, but depression is different. Depression is sadness for no reason at all. Okay, those people whom they have sadness, or he, let us use the word he no longer enjoy activities. Okay, when you tell to someone whom he is having depression, when you tell him or her, let us go out, no, I don't want to go out. Let us watch the television, no, I hate to watch the television. Then you tell her, but before you want always to go to the park and to watch the television, she will tell you, no, I am not interested in any activity. I don't enjoy any activity. They always feel tired all the time. Actually, I noticed this, and I lived with one of, my relatives, whom she was, exactly this, symptoms were clear. She felt this feeling exactly. She was tired all the time. And actually, if you try to realize sometimes your feeling, sometimes you wake up in the morning, okay, while you already slept 8 or 9 hours, but as soon as you wake up, you tell, I am so tired today. It is not that tired, you are not tired regarding your body. It is a problem with your spirit. This is one of the signs of depression. You don't want to participate in any activity. How to escape activities? I am so tired. Okay, so if I am so tired, I will not be able to be out of the bed, I will not drive, I will not go, I will not communicate, I will not do anything. What is the excuse you give to yourself and to the people? Okay, I am so tired, and I am tired all the time. You will notice that, actually, inshallah, not you, but actually, even for me, I have this feeling sometimes that I am tired all the time. You wake up in the morning at 7 o'clock, I am tired. So I will sleep 3 hours, then inshallah, by 11, I will be in a very good shape. By 11, you are more tired. Okay? No, today I will cancel all the activities. By night, you are extremely tired. Because the whole day, you are occupied with the problem. This is the problem of the depression. You are having more time to concentrate on the problem. Because you deviate yourself from all the activities. You are not busy with anything except with the problem. So the problem is having the shadow more and more on your spirit. Okay? But sometimes it is the irritability and the difficulty to control the temper. Okay, in extreme depression, it is characterized by feeling of helplessness and hopelessness. Okay, actually, sometimes you feel that you are tired all the time. But again, I have the same feeling sometimes that out of any problem, you start to fight with the people around you. Okay, yes, for example, my daughter is every day putting, a shirt and bands, okay? One day I will wake up in the morning and tell her, what are you wearing today? What is this? Too tight, not good. I can't accept it. She will tell me, why you are shouting? I was wearing these clothes for the last month, but now you look so mad. Yes, I am not mad out of the t-shirt or the band. I am mad of something in my spirit, but I can't control it. So you start to reflect, you're upset in the form of irritability and difficulty to control the temper. Okay? And the big problem is that when you feel that you have no hope and you have no help. This is actually the great problem, spiritual problem regarding depression. Inshallah, we will learn about all of this in details. Changes in behavior during depression are reflective of the negative emotion being experienced. Some people don't feel comfortable with other people. So social withdrawal is common. This is very common. If you have a friend or a sister whom whenever you call her, she will tell you, I am not coming to that meeting. I will not go to that wedding. I can't go to this activity. Okay, so she starts to withdraw. To start to withdraw from the activity, this is a sign of depression. Okay, also dramatic change in the appetite is common. This is very common. Okay, either eating more or less. Okay, there are people whom they know about their mood from their way or from their appetite. If, for example, actually for me, if I start to eat and eat and eat, this means that I have something in my mind, I have a problem which doesn't have a solution. So I am putting all my, feelings, okay, in the eating. I am just eating. And actually, those people whom they are having this kind of symptoms, they don't feel what they eat. You are just eating. Whatever they put for you, you eat, because your mind is not concentrating on what you are eating. Your mind is occupied 100% with the problem. So when you see the food, you feel that maybe with the food I will be more happy. They keep on eating especially sweets, ice cream, yes, chocolate especially. Chocolate and ice cream, then after a few months when the problem will be solved, they will find themselves having a bigger problem than they increase in weight too much. And this will be the real cause of depression at that time, because it is always not easy to get rid, you know, of the excessive weight. Extra bones. Actually, because of the feeling of helplessness, excessive crying is common. Actually, sometimes you call, you know, some of your friends and you check with her. She will tell you, nowadays I'm crying and I don't know why I'm crying. Okay, this is also a sign of depression. There is internal pressure whom she can't explain it. The reason is not clear, you know, so she doesn't know why she's crying. Some people complain about everything and act out their anger with temper outbursts. Some people, they are always complaining, you know, about everything. Okay, this is also a sign of depression. In the extreme, people may neglect their personal appearance, even neglecting basic hygiene. Actually, I have a friend whom, you know, it started to be clear to everyone that she's having a big problem in her life and she is depressed because of the negligence of her outside appearance. You know, she was always taking care of herself and wearing clothes which is matching, you know, the blouse will match with the skirt and, you know, the scarf is the same and she looks always in a good shape. And gradually we start to notice that, you know, she is upside down. You know, yes, her outside appearance look miserable, okay? And the people were noticing this, but no one is saying to her anything. Then, by time, it comes to everyone to know that she has very big marriage problem. And it was reflected, subhanAllah, you see, on her outside appearance. And actually, there are some people whom, out of depression and refusal of participation in the worldly life, they start to neglect their basic hygiene. I know some people whom they forget about toothbrushing, you know, because they are all the time at home. They never communicate with people. They are locked, you know, in the room alone. They are not eating well. They are not sleeping well. So they just forget about everything, subhanAllah. InshaAllah, Islam will give us the key for all of this, alhamdulillah, the successful key, not to have depression. Alhamdulillah. Just when you have these symptoms at the beginning, how inshallah through the belief and through Islam, alhamdulillah, you can break the circle as soon as it starts in your spirit. Also, there are changes in the physical well-being. Chronic fatigue, despite spending more time in sleep, is common. Okay? Actually, this is very common. Is that, you know, people whom they are depressed or they have a problem of no reasons or they are not happy with their life, they are always sleeping and they are always having chronic fatigue. Actually, I noticed this in many sisters. Okay. Also, there are some people whom they can't sleep. This is one of the signs of depression, insomnia. You know, they have everything. Life is normal. It looks from outside normal. There is no big changes in their life, okay? But they start to complain that we can't sleep. And actually, this insomnia is very common nowadays. Many people are complaining from insomnia, and nobody knows, you know, why. But alhamdulillah, we Muslims, inshallah, we will have the solution for this. So now we learn about these changes which is related to depression. Changes in thinking, changes in feelings, changes in behavior, and changes in physical and well-being. These changes are the proof that depression is a whole body illness, which we need to be aware of so that we can avoid it. Inshallah, every week we will learn an inspiring story related to depression and related to the ways how to be away from depression. So that inshallah, while we are learning about depression, we will have the clear proof that the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the belief in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having patience all the time with the obedience of Allah and with the decree of Allah, will always inshallah make depression away from the life of the believer. Now inshallah, I will tell you the story of this week, and actually it has a lot of wisdom, and inshallah it will help every one of us who is not happy with her life, whom she is feeling that my problem is the biggest problem in the world. Inshallah, it will help her to be away from it. The story is called The Signs of Happiness. There was a young couple who led a very happy life together. The only thing that they worried about was whether their happiness would last forever or would they too would have to face problems. They were so worried that they may lose their happiness at any time. One day they heard that a wise old man had come to the town. He could solve all kinds of problems and guide people. So the couple decided to visit the wise old man and tell him their course of worry. The wise old man told them, travel around the world and seek a man and a woman who are perfectly happy as a couple. When you find such a couple, ask them for a piece of clothes from the man's shirt. Then keep that piece of clothes with you and you always remain happy. The young couple began the journey to find the happiest couple in their world. In one place, they heard that the governor and his wife were the happiest people. So they went to their place and asked them, are you the happiest couple? The governor and his wife replied, yes, we are happy in every way, except for one thing, we don't have any children. Well, that didn't make the governor and his wife the happiest couple. So they continued their journey. They arrived in one city where they had heard that the happiest couple lived. They went to their house and asked them, are you the happiest couple? The couple replied, yes, we are really happy in every way, except that we have too many children, which make our life a bit uncomfortable. No, this couple didn't sound to be the happiest, of course. With too much children, they are not the happiest. And so they continued their journey. They visited many countries, cities, towns, and villages, asking the same question, but they don't find what they were looking for. One day, the young couple came across a shepherd in the desert. The shepherd was grazing his sheep when his wife and children came along. The shepherd greeted his wife and gently patted the child she was carrying. She laid the mat and started to eat with the feeling of being content. The young couple came to them and asked them, are you the happiest couple? The shepherd and his wife replied, nobody is unhappier than the king. The young couple immediately realized that they were the happiest couple, subhanAllah, you see, and asked them for a piece of the shepherd's shirt, so that their happiness too would last throughout, because the old wise man told them, get a piece from the shirt from the happiest couple. The man said, if I give you a piece of clothes from my shirt, then I will be left with no clothes. Since I own just one shirt, subhanAllah, you see, still happiness is not complete, subhanAllah. They are content with what they have, but still this is all what they have, okay? The young couple at once understood that it is very difficult to find perfect happiness anywhere in the world. The couple decided to return to their own country. They went to the wise old man and related all that had taken place. They also complained that his guidance was difficult to abide by. The old man said, What do you learn from this story? They replied that nobody is having everything in this worldly life. To be happy means to be content with what Allah gives you in your life. You see, so this is, you know, the reality of happiness. This is how, through the belief in the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this worldly life is just a test. And you are not supposed to be looking for a life which is only full of happiness. This is not the reality of the worldly life. Okay, if you realize the reality of the worldly life, you will realize that there is no complete happiness in the worldly life. When you will realize this, you will be content with what Allah decreed for you. If you are content with what Allah decreed for you, you are the real happy person in this worldly life. Okay, and when you are content with what Allah decreed for you, okay, subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will never have depression as a continuous feeling in your life. You will be sad sometimes, okay, when you don't have what you are looking for. But you will remember the reality of the worldly life. It is just a test, and that the enjoyment of the worldly life, they are just deceiving enjoyment, and that the prophets were suffering from the severe sadness, but in spite of that, they never lost hope and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So immediately, you will remind yourself with all these facts, and immediately, you will feel content with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The feeling of being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equals never depression. Okay? Actually, I will stop here so that inshallah next week we will continue with the causes of the depression and more clear about the symptoms of the depression. Then inshallah we will learn about the relation between Islam and depression. Actually, I was had to teach depression, you know, in Islamic classes, during the Islamic classes. Because there are some points of view that, you know, depression, and actually, inshallah, we will prove that depression is not supposed to be the feeling of the true believer. You can be sad, but you are not supposed to have depression. But as a realistic believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with this worldly life, which is full of evil, okay, no one can guarantee herself. So you must know about how dangerous is depression and how the changes are so great in your spirit and in your life, so that immediately when you start to have any of the early symptoms of depression, you start to tell to yourself, this is, you know, very dangerous for me, and I have to check about my relation with the Quran, my relation with Allah, you know, my belief in Allah. I have to try to find good companions to help me to be more close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to escape having depression by any means. When you realize how dangerous is the depression, but being ignorant about some of the facts of life, like depression, because we Muslims are not supposed to have depression, this is unrealistic point of view. Okay, in the worldly life, try to learn everything so that you can avoid the bad things and you can be thankful when you are living according to the right path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, this is why actually I insisted to, you know, to teach or to learn to teach depression in the classes. Inshallah, let us now make the dua together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, our Lord, the controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. Amen. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. Oh Allah, our Lord, truly we have wronged ourselves and none can forgive sins except you. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you to forgive our parents and all the Muslims. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.